Okay, here we are, November. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 to start. And, you know, one of the interesting things about the brain is that a lot of times we remember things and a lot of times we forget things. And sometimes we don't remember the things we should, and we remember the things we shouldn't. I don't know how exactly that works either, but I know that if you make an effort, you can remember the right things, and you can learn to forget the wrong things. So that's probably what we should do. Well, you know, it's one of the great excuses of all time. I forgot. And usually it is an excuse, right? Because if something is important, you make an effort to remember. Like my wife reminded me to do something this morning, and I said, okay, if you want me to remember that, write it down and put it over here, which she did not do. But it didn't matter today because of the situation. But, you know, it's a good thing to remember certain things. And, you know, if a man forgets his wife's birthday or an anniversary, they get a little upset. And wives never forget those things, do they? So, So we're going to go to Psalm 103. And it starts out, bless the Lord, O my soul. And the word bless means praise. That's what that means there, praise. The word bless in the Old Testament and New Testament can mean different things depending on context or different words that are translated bless. In this case, it means praise. Sometimes it means happy. Or it can mean, in the New Testament, it's a lot of times the word eulogia, which means eulogize or praise or have a good word for or a good saying. Here it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul would be with my life. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. So we are to bless, to praise with all our being God. That's what the psalmist here, David, says. He says, and then he says it again, bless the Lord, O my soul, or praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All the things that God does for you. He doesn't say that you have to remember them all, but he says, forget not all his benefits. Because they're too numerous and they're always coming. You know, God's the benefit of believing God, of looking to God, is a continuous thing. And just like in that song, thank him for his blessing. He's always working for us on our behalf. He's always doing what he can to bless us, to take care of us. And it's up to us to be receiving, to have the receiver on, to be looking to receive from God. Then we have we're going to go through verse 6, and you'll notice the repeating of certain things. So first off in verse 3, it says, who refers to the Lord, Jehovah, God, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now that's the third time all has been used because it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? You know, we're not to forget all his benefits, but he forgives all our iniquities. It's pretty great. It's a good thing to remember. That's something we want to remember. He forgives all our iniquities. You know, there's not an iniquity that he won't forget. It's a good thing to know. Because sometimes we do something wrong and we think, oh, I'm done. I'm cooked. I'm fried. I'm finished. But that's not true, is it? It says, God forgiveth all our iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. not just some of them, but all of them. He has the ability and is willing and is able to heal all our diseases. It's a good thing also not to forget. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. God redeems our life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. It's pretty great. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. That means, you know, sometimes it'll say something like he heaps it on our head or something like that. But he crowneth. You know, what's a crown? A crown is something that people will wear and it marks them out as special or, you know, a king or a queen or a prince or a princess or somebody that would like to be, you know, Miss America. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies better than any physical crown. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. That means he feeds us. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now there's a, you know, an Orientalism here or something that there's a bird here referred to as an eagle that will renew itself by, it gets up high and it dives into the water and gets all the old feathers off. And then he comes out and he's like a young, clean bird again. That's what it's talking about here. Verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You know, he helps you out when you're oppressed. He will take care of judgment and righteousness. You know, his judgments are always righteous, are always right. He's always fair. He's always upfront and honest. That's what God is. So it says we're to forget not all his benefits. And then he gives us some of his benefits. And those benefits that he gives us are good things to remember. Yeah, and there are certainly many others. We're going to go to Deuteronomy because we're going to look at Israel a little bit. And Israel, you know, sometimes we get an attitude, well, look at those dopey Israelites. Why didn't they believe God? Or why didn't they do what God says? But, you know, they were people. And a lot of times we act as dumb and as stupid as they did. That's a good thing to not forget, too. You know, we're human. We make mistakes. We make errors. And we do stupid things sometimes. And we make bad decisions and so on and so forth. But we have a God there that's willing and able to take care of us and get us out of the soup and do what he needs to do to help us. So in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, I want you to go there. This is towards the end of Moses' life, but he recounts all that God did for them. And what did God do for them? Well, he took them out of slavery, out of bondage in Egypt. But when he took them out of bondage in Egypt, he made them rich because, first of all, they didn't want to go. They wanted to stay there. And so God basically caused the Egyptians to push them out, to kick them out. So they kicked them out of Egypt, and when they left, they paid them. They gave them jewels and gold and all kinds of great stuff to leave. Sounds pretty strange, but, you know, God does great things. It's like, you know, if somebody didn't like you at your job and they said, okay, we don't want you to work here anymore, so we're going to give you $1 million to leave. Be great, huh? It's like a golden parachute. Okay, chapter 4, verse 9. You know, and he reminds them a little bit before of what he did for them and how God's been good to them. And then he says in verse 8, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day. Now, Moses had received the law previous to this in the books of, it begins in Exodus and goes through Leviticus and finishes up in Numbers. But he gives the law again to Moses, but in a more practical sense. He does stuff for them so that it's more practical, so that they know how to do, what to do when they go into the promised land. And, you know, you say, well, what's the big deal? He gave them a law. Well, he gave them a law, but you have to remember, in those days, the law, or having a law, was not common. It was not the norm. It was the exception. As a matter of fact, the law that God gave them really was the first law that man was to live by. Now, you know, did Egypt have laws? Well, probably they had laws, but it wasn't written down like this, and it was basically Pharaoh, the king, was the law. And when he decided to change the law, he changed it. Whereas the law that God gave to Moses to give to Israel was to rule everyone. And everyone was to obey the law. Everybody was equal before the law. That's why initially God did not give them a king. They didn't need a king. They just needed to obey the law. But when they did get a king, he was supposed to obey the law also. That's where we got the idea in our Constitution that the president of the United States was to obey the law, and the Congress, and, you know, all those people. We got that idea from the Bible. See? So then he says in verse 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Diligently, we know what diligently is, right? It's to make a great effort, your best effort. And he says here, keep thy soul diligently. Keep means to guard. Guard your life diligently. Lest thou forget these things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So they were to keep their heart, guard their heart by remembering all that God had done for them, how he had blessed them, how he had brought them out of Egypt, how he had fed them for 40 years and protected them, how he had watched over them, and all the things that he did for them for 40 years in the wilderness. And he said, and you take this law, and he said, guard your life diligently and teach it to your sons and to your grandsons. See? So that's what they were supposed to do. And, you know, it's pretty cool because when you teach somebody something, you remember it better yourself. You don't forget. And you understand it better. Let's go to verse 28. So the first thing God says to him is to take heed, be diligent, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. You know, I was thinking about that, and I've thought about, you know, a lot of times, do you ever have somebody that was really good to you and blessed you, but then they did something that offended you or didn't like, and that's the only thing you remember about them? You know, it seems like that's the thing that will stand out a lot of times. You know, we remember sometimes the bad things people do, and we don't remember the good things they do. And that's just human nature. And people do that with God too sometimes. You know, although God doesn't do anything bad, they may perceive that God does something bad. That's what they'll remember. Or they don't believe, and then they think God let them down, so that's what they remember. When God didn't let them down at all, they just didn't believe. So he says, keep thy soul diligently, reminding him of his laws and what he's done for him, and that they shouldn't forget. Verse 28, and there ye shall serve, let's see, verse 26, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it. Ye shall utterly be destroyed, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you, and there ye shall serve the gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see. Am I in the right place? I guess I am. Oh, you know what? It's verse 23. Sorry. Moses talking to him, and he says, I'm going to die, I'm not going to go with you. Then verse 33, he says, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or a likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Meaning, you know, he loves them and he doesn't want them to turn to another God. But he said, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't be diligent, and you don't teach your sons and your sons' sons, what's going to happen? You're going to forget the covenant of the Lord God, and you're going to make false gods. Seems inconceivable, doesn't it? Except what do people do today sometimes? You know, they have false gods. Because what's really a god in somebody's life? What's most important? You know, if it's money, if it's power, if it's whatever. Whatever you put ahead of, you know, and the most important thing in your life, that's a god. And he was saying, don't allow these gods in your life. And the way you're not going to allow these gods in your life is by remembering, not forgetting all that God did for you, and not forgetting his covenant, not forgetting his law. Let's go to chapter 8. And we're going to go to verse 11. It says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And you know, in Israel, when they went in, if you read later on, at the end of the book of Deuteronomy and the beginning of Joshua, God had Joshua set up stones and plaster it and write the whole law in the plaster so that when it dried, anybody that could come, it was publicly available to read what the word said. And then they actually made copies of the scrolls. And then people were allowed and able to have a copy of the scrolls, or they would have them in the different synagogues. Now, they had a temple and they had a tabernacle, but they did form other places where they could read the Word of God. And then the Levites were supposed to go out and to teach the people and help them to remember the Word of God, you see. So, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Commandments, judgments, and statutes are what made up the law, right? Starts out with the Ten Commandments. That's like the preamble to the Constitution. It's the guiding principles. It's the main things that God didn't want them to do. And then you have the statutes. And the statutes were the laws. And the judgments were what would happen to somebody if they broke a law and what they had to do to, you know, atone for their sins or their misdeeds or their whatever, crimes. And it covered, you know, all kinds of, covered their relationship with God, covered their relationship with each other. And so it was a civil law and a religious law, both. Covered everything. Verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And he said, you're gonna prosper, you're gonna have lots of food, you're going to have gold and riches, and you're going to have herds, and then you're going to forget who gave it to you, who took care of you, who did this for you, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, and brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. That's human, isn't it? Isn't that human? Sometimes we forget who really is the source of our wealth. We forget about who's the source of what we have and how we got it, how we really have it. You know, the air we breathe is only because God gave it to us. You know? It doesn't matter what you think. You know, life goes along and you get busy and then you work hard and you think, wow, I'm working hard. And God says that, and God says, you know, if you work hard and do what you're supposed to do, you'll be blessed, right? But who's the source of the blessing?
God
is. Yet sometimes we think, well, I did it. I built this business from nothing. You know, I did this, I did that. And it's not true. In our case, you know, we were all in bondage until we learned the truth of God's word. And we can go into bondage again when we forget who God is in our lives, don't we? And we can get bound up and by fear or situations and get screwed up because we don't look to God. Let's go to Isaiah. Book of Isaiah 49. Now, I know this is Old Testament. I know it's concerning Israel, but the principles are the same regardless. You know, the principles are the same because people are people and human nature has not changed in thousands of years. It actually hasn't changed since Adam and Eve. You know, human beings are human beings and they do the same things over and over and over and over. And you would think they would learn, but they don't. And then not only that, but the solutions to their problems are the same. You know, the solutions that they had at the Roman Empire, if you would go back and study history, are the same solutions that are proposed today. It's kind of amazing. I mean, they didn't have computers, and they didn't have TV, and they didn't have radio. Okay. But the problems they had were the same, and the solutions they propose are the same. I kid you not. Chapter 49 of Isaiah, verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Can a woman forget her suckling child? You would think not, but actually she can. She can. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God says they may forget, but he will not forget us. It's pretty cool. It's pretty amazing. You know, you think a woman could not forget her child or a parent could not forget their child. And then you hear on the radio somebody left their kid in a car. You know, and they do it all the time. I mean, it's probably almost every week you hear somebody doing that. They just forget about it. It's like, wow, how could you do that? Oh, I forgot to pick up my kid at school. People do that, don't they? A woman could forget her suckling child. But God will not forget us. Verse 16, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand, thy walls are continually before me. And that has to do with, you know, he's making an analogy, or God saying, I have tattooed you on the palms of my hands. I have tattooed you, so every time I look at my hand, I'm reminded of you. I don't forget you. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Let's go to Psalm 77. Psalm 77 is an interesting chapter or psalm, and the first 9 verses are how to be miserable. So if you want to be miserable, you can read those verses. And then the rest, the balance of the psalm is about how to get straight, how to be blessed and be happy and not miserable. We're going to start in verse 11. It says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. And, you know, and that's part of, you know, being blessed in your life and being thankful. You remember what God does for you, and you talk about it. See? Remember it. Don't forget it. Now, that, for us, takes a little bit of effort. It does. But, you know, it's a great thing to do. It's, you know, remember what God has done for you. Remember how he's blessed you. And talk about it. Talk about it. That reminds you of how great God is. And it reminds other people. And we're a family, so when we talk about it, we help each other. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art God, the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. So, you know, one of the things that we are to do is we're not to forget his benefits, and we are to remember the wonderful things he's done for us and to talk about them. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is kind of funny because God reminds us of where we were and where we're going in just a couple of verses. It's kind of like a summary of all of life. It says in chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember. Okay, so we are to remember. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So before you got born again, and you know, you may have gotten born again early, but before you were born again, whenever it was, you were without hope and without God in the world. You were strangers to the covenants of promise. And, you know, most of us were strangers to the covenants of promise until we learned a little bit about God's word, weren't we? Even if we were born again. Right. Then it goes on to say, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You're made nigh. How are you made nigh? By the blood of Christ. Now. And we're to remember. You know, we're to remember that once we were without God and with hope, but now, by Christ Jesus, we are made nigh. And then he goes on and talks about how he wants to bless us and all that other stuff. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And this is kind of cool because of the context and where it takes us. And we're going to start in verse 11. And it says, it is a faithful saying, or it is a faithful word, referring to what Paul is saying here by revelation. For if we be dead with him, with Christ, we shall also live with him. We shall also live with Christ. Meaning, you know, we have an identity. When he was crucified and was buried, we were buried with him. And when he was resurrected, we were resurrected. And when he comes back, we will live with him forever. Right? Okay. If we suffer, and that means endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. I should have read a different version because it doesn't really mean he's going to deny us, but whatever. Okay. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He can't deny himself, and we have Christ in us. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy, and he's saying, put them in remembrance. Putting who in remembrance? The believers, us, the church, those that are born again. Put them in remembrance. Charging them, or commanding them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, back in Deuteronomy, he said, be diligent and guard thy life and keep my commandments. Well, that was his word, right? The word study here is to be diligent. So in the New Testament, it says basically the same thing as it said in the Old Testament. We are to guard our lives by being diligent, by knowing the word and keeping the word of God in our mind. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Because the principle is the same. The principle is the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word to us is different, right? Because Israel had to do sacrifices, they had to keep feasts, they had to do certain things, and if they turned from God, they could lose everything. We are born again. But God wants us to keep our lives in order and pay attention to his word. Why? So he can bless us, so we can prosper, so we can live life to the fullest, so we can have an abundant life. So he says, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings. You know, shun profane, vain, or empty, and profane babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is already past already, and overthrow the faith or believing of some. Wow, how could they believe that? You know what? There are people that believe that today. There are people that, you know, think that you die and go right to heaven. There are people that think that, you know, all kinds of stuff, that we're going to go through the wrath. Well, very clearly it says we're not going to go through the wrath. You know, so this is not extraordinary to this particular time, because people will receive vain and profane babblings, and they will receive stuff that is off the wall. A couple of years ago, there were people going through here saying, we have figured out when Christ is coming back. And he didn't. He didn't come back when they said he was coming back. Huh. And you always see, if you look in the papers or magazines, there's always somebody somewhere that gets a church and says, I know when Christ is coming back. And they sell everything and they go somewhere and wait and wait and they're still waiting. It's the way it is. Okay. And verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And, you know, we're just to depart from iniquity, from evil, from sin, and we're to do God's word. That's what we're to do, to the best of our ability. And we are to remember all that God's done for us. Pretty great. And it says here that he was supposed to put us in remembrance of these things. So keep the word in your mind. Speak the word. Remember what God's done for you. Pretty great. And we're going to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 4, let's see, we'll read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who are... Oh, I'm in First Peter. Cool. That's good too. So you remembered that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead and we have an eternal inheritance. Okay. Okay, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, here's that word diligence again. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Okay, add to your faith or your believing virtue. Virtue is moral goodness. That's what virtue is, moral goodness. And to virtue, knowledge. I forget what the word knowledge is there. I think it's epigenosis, which means an in-depth experiential knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance is self-control, self-discipline, which is a very incredibly important thing. It's just like important. Okay. And to knowledge. So we have knowledge, you know, a knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of God and all he's done for us. So we're to have, with all diligence, we're to add to our believing moral goodness and knowledge and self-control and to temperance, patience. Patience is endurance. And to patience, godliness. Godliness is our true vital spiritual relationship with God. How do we have a true vital spiritual relationship with God? Well, we talk, we understand his word, and we spend time with God. We pray to him. We speak in tongues. We do our best to practice the presence of God. We listen to him. We carry out his word. That's how we have a true vital spiritual relationship with God. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. That's the word Philadelphia, brotherly love. We are loving one to another. We're kind one to another. And to kindness or to brotherly kindness, charity. That's agape. And here it means love to all. We walk in that love of God. So he has given us a list of eight things. Believing, virtue, moral goodness, knowledge, temperance or self-control, patience, endurance, godliness, brotherly love, and love to all. Eight things, or the great eight. The great eight. Now pay attention to this, because now he refers back to these eight things. Because in verse 8 he says, for if these things, referring to what? The great eight. Believing, knowledge, patience, temperance, virtue, all those things. For if these things be in you, and by the way, that is a figure of speech, polysyndeton, emphasizing each and everything listed. So each and every one of them are equally important. And he says, for if these things, the eight things listed, be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who wants to be barren and unfruitful? Anybody? No, nobody wants to be barren and unfruitful. Everybody wants to be fruitful. Everybody wants to produce good things in their life. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things, what things? The great eight, is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. How about that? Did you ever meet a Christian that's, I'm such a sinner. Oh, God could never forgive me for that. There's people like that out there. And sometimes, you know, we just have something in our life that we just want to hang on to. And we shouldn't. Get rid of it. Purge it. Well, how do you purge it? Those eight things will help you. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence. There's diligence again. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, where are you going to make it sure? Your election is sure in that you have Holy Spirit, right? But where's your election going to be made sure? In your brain and in your heart. Yeah, absolutely. For if you do these things, what things? The eight things, you shall never fall. Wow, what a great promise from God. Do those things, you'll never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. This is Peter talking, and he's you know, near the end of his life, and he said, you know, while I'm alive, I'm not going to stop telling you to remember these things. Though ye know them to be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, meaning in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, this body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things, what things?
The great eight,
always in remembrance. Cool. Okay. So, you know, we're not to forget all the benefits of God, and then he tells us that we are to remember certain things, you know, and we are to guard our life. We're to be diligent with our life, to remember what God's done for us. We are to be diligent to have these things that he's listed. Believing, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly love, and love to all. You know, we're to remember those things. We're not to forget. And as we remember those things, and we remember all that God has done for us, and as we talk about it, he's going to bless our lives. We're going to be enriched. We're going to not be unfruitful and barren, but we're going to be fruitful. We're going to abound in our walk with God. Pretty great, huh? So forget not all his benefits. And remember the great eight and put them in your life. So God, we thank you for these things. We thank you for loving us, for watching over us and taking care of us. And we just thank you, God, for what a great and mighty God you are. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.